The title that I've given to our next section in 1 John is, well, it's not really particularly original, it's Walking in the Light. And if you're familiar with the passage that we're looking at, you can see it's a straight lift from it. So if you would turn in your Bible then, please, to 1 John. We're going to read from verse 5 of chapter 1 to verse 2 of chapter 2. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this is what the Apostle John has written. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. One of the things that I hear regularly from people who request the gospel literature that I have written is that they appreciate how clearly it presents the need for sinners to repent, to receive God's salvation. And my response is always the same. If gospel literature is to be worthy of that description, then it must tell sinners of their need to repent, because there is no salvation without repentance. It is impossible for any sinner to enter into a saving relationship with God if there is not a coming clean before God, a taking ownership of our sin, and a genuine desire to be finished with it and to go forward and live a life that pleases God. Those are the terms upon which God saves sinners. As the Apostle Paul puts it in Acts 20, verse 21, when he is reviewing his entire ministry and summing up his message, he says this, that it is our responsibility to call men and women to do two things: to turn to God in repentance, and to put their faith in Jesus Christ. We do sinners an enormous disservice if we edit out the call to repentance from what we share with them. A changed attitude towards sin is always one of the hallmarks of the true believer. And we're going to see this worked out in our passage tonight. So let me begin by saying something about what is going on in this passage and how it fits together. John begins, in verse 5 there, with one of the Bible's great summarizing statements about God himself. What he is in himself. his essential nature. God is light. This is the message, the revelation that the apostles have received. And what follows in the remainder of the passage is the drawing out then of the implications of this revelation of God to us as light. And what John does is he shows us that we can go in one of two ways with this revelation of God, this understanding of God as light, and the implications that that carries for us. We can go the road of denial and refuse to deal with the truth that it reveals to us about God himself and about ourselves. And we find this three times in the passage. If we claim we have fellowship with God but walk in darkness, if we claim to be without sin, if we claim we have not sinned, each time the claim that is being made is false because it is contrary to, it is in conflict with, it is inconsistent with the truth that God is light. But we can do that as sinners. We can go the road of denial. Alternatively, we can bow before the revelation of God as light and accept its implications for us. And John spells out the consequences for us depending on which of those two paths we choose. We either continue in the darkness of lies and self-deception, or we humbly acknowledge the truth and walk in the light before God, thereby receiving the provision that he has made for us, sinners though we be. We either turn away from the light, retreat into the darkness, clinging to our lies, or we come into the light with all of the exposure that that entails, but in the process, receive the pardon and the cleansing that God has for us in his Son. One thing is for sure. For John, there is no twilight zone. Either as sinners, we walk in the darkness of self-deception, or in the full exposure of God's light. Now, that's what the passage is about, but let me just highlight the three key elements in it. They are, number one, the description of God. Number two, the claims of the heretics. And number three, the divine remedy for sin. The description of God, it's there in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Now, if we fail to understand and accept the truth of those three short words, God is light, we will never enter into a relationship with God and never receive eternal life. What does it mean that God is light? What are we to understand by this description or even definition of God? Well, throughout Scripture, the metaphor of light is used in connection with God in two ways, and they're connected to each other. First, light speaks of righteousness, purity, holiness, moral perfection. This is God's essential nature, what he is in himself. There is no hint or trace of anything other than blazing, consuming holiness. But secondly, God, who is light in himself, also gives light. Light pours forth from his holy being. Just as it is the property of light to shine, so God reveals himself, bringing the illumination of truth to us. He is the light by which we see and understand what reality is, including the reality about ourselves. John wants us to understand who God is. He is marked by absolute purity and righteousness and holiness, and he can only be encountered on those terms. There can be no compromise, no accommodation with darkness, unrighteousness, and error. John says that our message starts here. This is the message we receive from him. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Now, our message won't stop there, as we'll see in a moment, thank God. But it has to start there. It is because of God's essential nature as light that there are unavoidable ethical implications for anyone who claims to be in a living relationship with him. And that brings us to the second element in the passage, the claims of the heretics. If God is light, then his light will expose our sinfulness before him, and it will expose it to ourselves. It will reveal the true extent of our need, for whilst there is no darkness in him, there is plenty in us. But this was precisely what was being denied by those who had left the Christian community and who continued to claim they were in fellowship with, in relationship with God. They denied the reality of their own sinfulness. And the Apostle John exposes their claims as utterly false, for they are in complete conflict with the truth that God is light. Look at what's going on. Verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, result, we lie and do not live by the truth. Verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, that is, in our nature, result, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, that is our conduct, result, we make him out to be a liar because he says we have. And his word has no place in our lives. John is leaving us in no doubt whatsoever. If we know God as he truly is, light, this means we are completely exposed in all that we are before him. It means that we will see ourselves as the polar opposite of God in our nature and actions. But John, of course, does not stop there. He's writing to believers, that is, to sinners who have trusted in Jesus Christ. Yes, John will have us acknowledge God's holiness and our sinfulness He wants us to face squarely the facts of our situation and the problem that we find ourselves in through understanding both God's nature and our own. But John wants us to see the provision that God has made for sinners who stand in the light of his presence, deeply conscious of their need. It is absolute madness to go down the heretic's road of the denial of sin, for in so doing, they cut themselves off from the wonderful provision that God has made for sinners through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the third element in our passage, the divine remedy for sin. Look at John's description of what the sinner comes into the good of if he accepts and does not twist the truth that God is light. Verse 6 again. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this so that you will not sin, but if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. What a terrible tragedy it is if we refuse to accept the truth of God's holiness, God is light, and the concomitant truth of our sinfulness, that we are not light. For if we do that, we exclude ourselves from the provision that God has made for our purification, our complete, total cleansing. John mentions it twice. In verse 7, the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There's purification and also there's pardon. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. God will issue us his acquittal for our sins. There's absolutely no need for us to deny our sin and its offensiveness to God, because chapter 2, verse 2, 1 and 2, because we have one who pleads our case as sinners, our heavenly advocate, who represents us before God as the one who has already faced God's wrath on account of our sin. That's the idea of the atoning sacrifice. He's already paid the price of our forgiveness. But note what John insists we must do if we are to avail of this pardon and purification, this forgiveness and cleansing that's going to allow us to live in relationship with God. Two things must be true of us. Must be true of us. Verse 7, we must walk in the light. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from our sin. Now, it's so important that we understand what this means to walk in the light and what it doesn't mean. It does not mean that we must be sinless in our walk before God. That would make a complete nonsense of everything that John has said in this passage about the lie of denying our sinfulness. And also it would deprive us of the great encouragement. I write this so that you won't sin, but if anybody does sin, we have one who pleads our case. It would make that encouragement just utterly meaningless. No, to walk in the light as he is in the light means to walk in God's revelation of himself. To live in the truth of who God really is. Being completely open and honest and transparent before him. It is to have done with covering up, making excuses, blaming others. It is living in the full reality of who God is and who we are. If we want to be made clean, it will only happen when we come clean. We've got to come into the light and walk in the light. And the second thing we must do, verse 9, we must confess our sins. That is, we must take ownership of our fallenness. We must freely acknowledge our wrongdoing. We must fess up. If we are unwilling to own our sinfulness and confess our sin, God is unable to cleanse and to pardon. Let me quote you what John Stott has written. Christianity is the only religion which, emphasizing that God is light, first insists on taking sin seriously and then offers a satisfactory moral solution to the problem of sin. The way to have fellowship with a God who is light is not to deny the fact or effects of sin, but to confess our sins and thankfully appropriate God's provision for our cleansing. So let me draw things to an end by offering a word of application before finishing with a very pertinent passage of Scripture, something else that was written by the Apostle John. There is no fellowship with God, no relationship with him, no sharing in eternal life with him where sin has not been dealt with. Or as I said earlier, there is no salvation without repentance. And it is only when we understand the holiness of God and our sinfulness that we can appreciate what a wonderful Savior Jesus Christ actually is. But he remains the rock upon which we must be broken. Matthew 21:44. And as believers, if we are to enjoy the experience of eternal life, we must continue to practically walk in the light, being open and honest and transparent before God. It's always safe for the believer to do that. for Christ has already answered for our sins. Let's never think that it's the smart thing to do to try to hide from the light, to evade God's beams upon us, to retreat into the darkness, to reach some sort of accommodation with our sin. We tend to quote the early verses of this passage. You'll recognize it immediately. And with this I finish. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their evil deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.